You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guest will be talking about how he established his first wholesaling company and purchased 176 residential and commercial multifamily units by the young age of 23.
That's right, Charles. And he'll also talk about how he grew his tech company from the ground up in such a short period of time, and how changing your mindset from why to why not opens the doors to endless opportunities. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Hi, everyone. It's Charles Rose Jr. with Breakthrough Investor, where we help you break through that next level as an investor. And with me today is my amazing co-host and real estate investor, William Palmer. He is just awesome. And man, William, man, I haven't seen you since what, RubeCon?
At least in RubeCon. Yeah. I've been good, Charles. Hope you've been good. I know you're back in the States now, so you're kind of getting some of the same weather as me, just a little farther south. But yeah, super excited to dive into today's interview. This should be awesome.
Oh yeah, man. I'm super excited. As I was reading our guest bio, I was just getting so excited, and I love the type of guests that we bring on. You know, these people are just awesome people. They're givers at heart, and they just, you know, they've done so well, and all they want to do is share and help many people achieve their goals. So I love it. Man, today's guest is pretty wild, man. Like, not only is he a real estate investor, William, like, I love how he also dedicates a lot of his time to wildlife conservation in South Africa. Isn't that cool, William?
Yeah, that's wild. I've actually been to South Africa, but I'm sure it wasn't for wildlife. But yeah, it's fascinating to hear how people's lives have just kind of led them down different paths, and then they end up in real estate. That's always fascinating to hear. And I mean, he got started during COVID, which is absolutely fascinating. So not too far back for most of us. I still remember during COVID, but it led him to start his own wholesaling company. And
so you're telling me, William, that he didn't use COVID as an excuse?
No, not at all. He actually used it to propel himself by the sound of it. So I'm really curious to like really dive into that and hear more about that. But he's got like 176 residential and commercial units, and by the age of 23. And I'm like, dude, this is fantastic. Like, I got to hear this story, man.
Oh man, 100%. I'm super excited to hear his story too. And I mean, this guy, as I mentioned earlier, like, we invite people on the show who have given hearts and, you know, who want to help people. And he does this so well by speaking at numerous places, universities, and so many other places, empowering investors through his company, Bright Investor. So William, I'm not going to hold it. You know, I'm not going to keep you waiting too long today. So without further ado, help me welcome to the show our guest, Donato Callahan. Donato, what's up, brother?
Nothing much. That's just the best intro I've ever gotten. So I'm feeling pretty great right now.
Love it. That means, William, that means we did our job.
That's great.
We can end the podcast now. No, just kidding. We can't end it until we hear a story.
We got to dive into that. So yes. Donato, kind of explain like a little bit of your backstory, your history, and then kind of what led you into real estate. How'd that start for you?
Yeah, well, the first thing I can say is it was never the plan. This was not something that I was born into, raised in a real estate family any way, shape, or form. You know, I grew up in Iowa. Folks worked for John Deere and were very much traditional. Go to work, invest in stock market, good school, good grades, and you can create a good living for yourself. And that was the path that I followed all the way up through college until I was at the end of my freshman year of school. And I ended up looking for ways to not have to pay for college, as many college students do. And I ended up winning this Department of Defense scholarship when I was a freshman that ended up giving me a full ride to school, plus about $30,000 a year in a paid salary, plus books, plus health insurance, plus a guaranteed job when I got out. Mm-hmm. So it was like the load of, you know, hitting this amazing scholarship, which is awesome, but you're also 18 years old. You know you're going to graduate. You know you're going to go work. You've just written the next couple chapters of your life, and you start wondering, well, what's next? What else is out there? Because this had this feeling of potential that I could fulfill, and this feeling of I can do more. There's other things I haven't learned yet. There's all these skills I don't have. This can't be it. So that led to after my sophomore year of college, I spent 12 weeks interning in Washington, D.C. with the National Intelligence Community. So FBI, CIA, all those fun folks, and followed that up with 10 weeks in the Montana wilderness out by Condon, Montana, if you guys are familiar with that area.
I'm not, but I want to be now.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love the idea of Montana.
That's my long-term plan. That's my retirement plan, is a cabin out in Montana. That's where I'm going, 100%. But this is a program where you got a whole semester's worth of upper division credits for my major, which is biology, but I got to live out of a homestead. I got to swim through streams, meet Native American water rights lawyers as they fought for their rights to local waterfalls and streams, got to meet the ranchers, the loggers, have grizzly bears run out in front of my car, and just spend time out in nature for a whole semester. And I got credit for it. And so then when that was done, I'm like, well, let's keep going. So I, you know, booted off to South Africa, or Limpopo, South Africa, to be more specific, and did a month there on a wildlife conservation reserve.
Wow. How was that, man? I'm like super excited to hear more about that, man.
That was phenomenal. So when I got there, there was people from 19, 20 years old, all the way up to 40 years old who were volunteering on this reserve. And I was the only American there. The last two Americans were leaving the day that I got there. So I was the only American there for just over a month. And I got exposed to people from all over the world, you know, Danes, Swedes, you know, Aussies, you know, Kiwis, a lot of people from UK, and got to just learn a lot of different cultures and what they valued and what was important to them in their lives. But the thing that really got me was the scenery. So let me paint a picture for you, because there were a few moments that will be forever burned into my skull as during this trip. There was a moment where every day we would get up around 3 or 4 in the morning, pack up the car, and go do our daily drives to go find out where a herd of elephants was or where the pride of lions was so we could go monitor their health. And we were just about hour 2 or hour 3 of our drive, 6:30 in the morning, and the sun's just starting to crest over all the brush. We turn right around this watering hole and come up over this natural land bridge. And as I look out to my right, this huge watering hole is just being lit up by the oranges and yellows and intense reds of the rising sun. In the back very left-hand side of the watering hole, a giraffe comes out of the vegetation, bends down and starts drinking water out of the watering hole. And on this small island in the middle of, you know, the water, a saltwater crocodile swims up, crawls out, and starts sunning itself. And it was just a snapshot moment. I cannot believe this is on the exact same planet that I was growing up in way back in Iowa. And that moment, captured with a couple others, was truly one of the things that kind of opened up my mind to there are so many things you can do on this planet, so many places you can be, things you can see. You owe it to yourself to open as many doors as possible.
Man, dude, that's awesome. So real quick, man, first of all, you are such a great storyteller. I love, like, I could see the story. The only thing is, you know, maybe my mind went in a different direction when you mentioned the crocodile or alligator.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say he came up and, like, you know, ate the giraffe.
No, like, and he got him.
Okay, that would take a dramatic turn.
Yeah, like Lion King into National Geographic, where you're like, oh, no.
But on a serious note, I'm sorry, I just had to kind of share that, but...
Yeah.
On a serious note, but that's so amazing how you had that experience. How would you say that experience in South Africa shaped you and formed who you are today? What would you say on that?
It gave me a very deep insight into people's choices. That the people who were working there, for example, they were, I think, in their late 20s. They were from, I believe, New Zealand, and they made a choice to pack up their lives, come work for an organization in this small, not very well-kept kind of bungalow situation on a reserve in South Africa. And they were dedicating their time every day to working with young adults, practicing conservation. And that was a choice. The same way we choose to go to college, the same way we choose to apply and work for a certain job, the same way we choose to start families or move to this location or take that vacation or choose anything in our own lives. That was a choice and didn't just happen to them. And so looking at people who made that type of choice, which was so different than anything I'd previously considered, really opened up the world of possibility of, oh, I can live any kind of life I want if I simply choose it. And it was scary because you're taking a lot of responsibility of your own life at that point. It's not like it's something, oh, you can never do that. It's impossible for you. You don't have to worry about that. It really forces you to look at the fact that you're in control. And if you want something, you can get it. And if you don't get it, it's because you didn't choose it. But that's on you and no one else.
Fantastic. Amen. Well, Donato, how did you take that mentality or that mindset or that experience? How did that help you? Or maybe we should get into how that turned into real estate, but how did that help you in real estate? So maybe start with the story of, I know you probably had to come back to the US at some point. I don't think you're in Africa right now.
I'm not. No, they booted me out. They couldn't contain me.
So how did you come back? And then how did you use that mindset that you learned into starting a wholesaling company?
Yeah, so I came back and it was January of 2020. And I really looked at all these things. I saw all these different opportunities. And I knew that in order to make choices that were for my development and for my best future, I needed to be able to prepare myself to be able to say yes to those opportunities. And one of the ways I can do that is being financially secure. So I thought, okay, if I want to get to C, then I need to be able to get to B. And that starts with A, which is get financially secure. So I started looking at ways to do that. And the first thing that jumped out to me was in the stock market. You know, I'd saved up some money. My folks were saying, you have some cash put away, you should put in the stock market. And I thought, great, I'll do that. So I put some money in the stock market. It's funny now, but my advisor wanted me to buy Apple and Lyft. And I'm like, okay, I'm fine with that. But let me give me 2 weeks and I'm going to go look and find a stock that I want to buy myself. Let me pick one of them. So I spent 2 weeks and I came back to him and I said, in January 2020, like, Scott, I want to buy this company called NVIDIA. And that was the one stock that I picked after 2 weeks of looking, which was completely random. Okay, I'll be clear. I do not currently still hold my NVIDIA. I sold out of it. Part of me wishes I still had it. It was completely random that was the one stock I ended up picking up. But all that to say, I invested in the stock market, thought I was a genius. 2 months later, March 2020, COVID hits and I lose half of its value within 3 days. That hurts. Okay. So I thought I was making a smart choice being financially secure. And now you're telling me that someone else that I've never met before in a country I've never been to has caused an issue where now I'm financially impacted. Really don't like that. Because what if I keep doing this for years and years and years and I make bigger and bigger plans based off this finances that I think are going to be there and then one day they're not. So that's what kicked me off into how can I be more in control of my wealth building and income, which led me to real estate. And I was going on social media. I was going to bigger pockets. I was like listening to podcasts just like this one. I'm reading books and saying, okay, clearly there's this real estate game that a lot of people have used to be in control of their own wealth building. And one of the ways that they recommend that you get into the game is through wholesaling. So let's try that. And so I was super bored during COVID-19, sitting at home, doing nothing. And I paid into my first mentorship group to learn how to do wholesaling. And I ran that wholesaling business for my entire senior year of college.
That's awesome, man. Man, so going throughout your journey, like you've achieved a lot at a young age, which is just phenomenal. And I think a lot of people are going to be inspired by your story, right? But during that journey, was there ever any moment where you felt like giving up or even, you know, Did you ever feel like maybe, you know, I'm too young or was there any challenges along the way? Let's kind of unpack some of those things, because one of the things our guests are listening for is they're listening to your story and they want to know how you broke through that next level.
Absolutely. Well, there was plenty of challenges. In fact, there were many, 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 many challenges, including some times that I did give up. To be clear about that, there were times that I said, I give up. I'm not touching this for 2 weeks. I'm walking away. And then get over it and say, okay, time to get back on the horse. So I don't think giving up is this terrible component. If you're like, you know what, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to recoup myself, build myself back up, get my patience back and keep going. You can throw in the towel as many times as you want, pick it back up, keep doing it. But when I was getting started being younger, it never really affected me as like, I'm young, I can't do this. More so it was there are people around me who see that I'm young. And they think that I can't do this, or they aren't willing to take me seriously, or they aren't willing to invest in me because I am not the same age demographic as them. So that was an issue where I had to spend a lot of time brushing up on my vocabulary, spending time developing my skill sets, and talking to a lot of adults who are older than me, had more experience than I did, and wanted to, thankfully, pass that on. So there were enough people like that that were really interested in taking someone young under their wing I could ask questions to, that I was able to really stand my ground when folks came at me saying, all right, look, kid. All right, look, buddy. Like, this is, you're a little out of your league here. This is how we do things. Or when they try to take advantage of you and peddle you a bad deal, you know, because they think that that's something that you'll fall for. It's a battle you have to fight, but it's something that you can do. As far as some other major challenges for giving up, my wholesaling company, I operated for the entirety of my senior year. And I was spending all the money I was making through working and doing odd jobs. I got a job as a property management coordinator with a local property management company so I could learn how to deal with tenants. And if I get free access to buildings to do the inspections, so I could start learning what it looked like to do repairs. And I was doing this, I was spending money on mailers and cold calling and texting and marketing and all these things, just cutting my teeth, felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. And there were a couple properties that I got under contract and I was super excited. It was gonna make me, like, my first deal was gonna make me $25,000. I was gonna recoup all these investments I'd made. And that first deal, about a month after I had signed the contract, gotten it assigned, I'm waiting to close, the seller reached out to me saying, hey, what's your address? And instantly, red alert went off saying, why do you want to know my address? Well, it's because she wanted to have her lawyer send me a document saying that the contract was null and void. She didn't want to do it. And basically, she wanted out of the agreement. And so it's my very first deal. I already have a seller that wants to back out, largely because my assumption, the situation was where the seller was out of state and their adult offspring were living in the home, not paying rent, not taking care of it, but they'd been there for so long. They're buying nice cars and nice, like, boats for themselves, not paying the rent. I think maybe there was some, please don't throw me back out on the street, I promise I'll change. And it was in Boise, Idaho. And she probably thought that she could get even more for what I was offering her for, even though I came up $5,000 in my offer price. But at that moment, I had a choice to make. Do I want to try and fight this contract to get the $25,000 and force this person to go through the transaction they don't want to do? Or am I going to let her out of the contract, eat the losses, piss off the guy I signed this property to because now I don't have a deal to sell him, and take the lesson from it? And I chose to let her out and I ate all my costs and I burned a relationship with that buyer and I was left with nothing left on that deal, which sucked. And it made me really face whether or not I wanted to keep doing that business. And there was a moment I specifically remember where I thought, you know what? This really isn't the type of real estate that I want to be doing. I want to buy something and have it pay me every month instead of having to buy a property, sell it, and then do it again. I don't want to have to deal with forcing someone to go through this contract if they don't really want to do that. And not just saying wholesaling is a great business for a lot of folks. It wasn't going to be right for me. And so what I actually did, so for everyone listening to this podcast, is I gave up the wholesaling business and I shut it down. And I started asking questions that a mentor of mine had started feeding to me about what's this thing called multifamily, a commercial multifamily, where I can buy something and it pays me every month. And we'll get into it later, but now that has turned into over 176 units. And then 2 weeks, I'm closing my next 200 unit deal to bring me up to about 40 million total, with my goal to do about another 20 to 30 million this year.
Wow.
That is phenomenal. The goals, man.
Yeah.
Dude, that is just so amazing. William, can you imagine what this guy's portfolio is going to look like when he's like 30?
Oh, no, I have no idea. It's going to be amazing.
My goodness.
We're going to have Donato back on.
For sure.
Have to come back on. We want to hear, I don't know, maybe every 3 years or so, we're going to have
perfect. To refresh everything what he's doing. Yeah. I love that idea. But, you know, I really like, you know, and appreciate how you shared that story. Like, sometimes we just hear the highlights and, you know, the sweet sides of the story. And and even, like, you know, giving up, like, sometimes giving up may not be the worst thing to do. Like, I think the term giving up kind of has, like, is the right word to use, a stigma, you know what I mean?
Like, shameful.
It's shameful.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to give up something to get something greater.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely. Would you agree with that, Donato?
100%. I mean, the word that people use in business because they don't like the shame that comes with the word give up is to use the word pivot. But it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Like, oh, we're going to pivot. Like, okay, great. And so really, I pivoted from wholesaling to commercial multifamily. Great. But in reality, I said, this sucks. I'm not doing this anymore. Gave that up. But I gave up this. I gave up the tactic, which was wholesaling. I didn't give up the strategy, which was create financial independence and become wealthy and financially free. Mm-hmm. I gave up this one tool, not the journey that I was on.
That's fantastic. Yeah, there's definitely a difference between doing something and realizing it's not for you, but your end goal doesn't change. You're still chasing your end goal. You're still going to get it and you're pursuing it and you're accomplishing it. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck is they think because they failed at one thing that they're all of a sudden a failure. And so they're faced with that quote unquote shame, or they need to look at it different as, what is that, Ross from Friends, where he yells pivot? That's all that went through my head. So if you start changing and you look at it from that perspective, it really changes your view on things in my mind. It does.
And it really does change your view when you look at it from that different perspective. And man, one of the things I heard you mentioned that I love, you said that you didn't give up on your strategy, which was to become financially free. Let's talk about that. Like, what does financial freedom look like to you? You know, some people call it financial independence, whatever you want to call it. What does that look like to you? And let's talk about that some more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, one of the biggest things that really inspired I want to be able to be financially independent was a allocation of my time, where and when and how I want to allocate it. So I'm thankful to be able to say that as of recording this, but 6 months ago, I say retired, they say resigned, I say retired. I've retired from my job as a geospatial analyst with the Department of Defense, and I'm doing real estate in my tech startup full time now. And one of the biggest motivators for me to be able to do that was walking into this job. And it is a building from like the 1940s. There's no windows and it's a cubicle farm. And legitimately, every single person had the lights off over their cubicles except for mine. So I'm just this one, you know, illuminated light bulb in a field of dark, no windows. I'm getting half a day off every 2 weeks and paid time off. And I'm getting, at the end of the year, I get a little like elbow nudge saying, you know, if you do work hard this year, we're going to get you that 2%. I'm like, great, screw you. Like, I want to go home and spend 2 weeks with my family for Christmas. Like, and my colleagues laughing at me saying, you haven't worked here long enough to be able to do that. And like, okay, let me break that down for a second. You're saying I haven't earned the right to spend time with my family when you guys all are? This is what I understand what we're saying, right? You're saying that I need to not be with my family when you guys are and do that for 20 years so that I can earn the right to go do you guys already see value in. Is that, am I understanding that correctly? And they're like, yep. I'm like, great. Bye. And so see ya. And there's something to be said for cutting your teeth and you have to do it. But when it comes to the fact that your time is so restricted, and now I work all the time, you know, I go home for visit folks and I'm blocking out 4 to 6 hours. I'm on my computer, or I'm traveling a lot now for work, you know, to Texas, to Florida, to Arizona, to Washington, to Iowa, but I'm working when I'm doing it. But I can interweave my work with my personal life together. And that is such a freeing feeling because I don't really want to do nothing for the rest of my life. I'm not just going to sit my ties on the beach. If anything, I'd be playing board games in Montana. I'm a board game. Give me a board game with a nice cigar lounge, wine bar, and Montana. We're doing great. So
what's your favorite board game?
Oh, Charles, you can't be doing this to me. It's like asking a favorite child. There's a couple board games. There's one called the Star Wars Rebellion. One person plays the Rebels. One person plays the Empire. And there's another game called Res Arcana. It's like an engine building deck game. Mm-hmm. But little backstory, I spent my 21st birthday. So all the listeners know how cool I am. I spent my 21st birthday playing a game called Twilight Imperium for 14 hours. That was what I did.
Well, I don't want to leave you feeling like you're the only cool kid. So in my family, my brother is the board game nerd. Okay. He probably, and I kid you not, probably has over $3,000 worth of board games. And we get together once a month.
Yep.
And all the kids, there's like 30 plus nieces and nephews, and we all show up, and he has a big house. So all the adults staying upstairs playing board games. All of them are down in the basement with Nerf guns.
Yes.
I mean, I thought you were going to say, yeah, William, you might have a new guest.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, that's so awesome. That's pretty wild. Man, that's awesome. And I love how you explain that, because freedom looks different to everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone has their why. Everyone has the things that they enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. But everything you've done in your business, you've done it where you can be free to live life on your own terms, mm-hmm. to play a game if you want to for 24 hours or however long you want it. So that's awesome, man. So, man, let's talk more about your tech startup. I heard you mention that, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the Bright Investor, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Bright Investor started off with a problem. And that was, I was a senior in college, and one of the classes I was taking was like a mapping class. For the folks out there familiar, it's GIS. So how do you take information, put it on a map, and then use that? And I knew at that point in time that I was going to be moving to St. Louis for my job. And I knew I wanted to get into real estate. I'm thinking, well, that's a market that I don't invest in, that I'm going to invest in. And I have no idea where I should be buying, what the market's doing, what the rents are, what the crime is. So for my senior project, I'm like, why don't I just make a real estate map for St. Louis and submit that. And so I did. And then that started turning the wheels of, you know, if I had this problem, I'm sure other people do too. So I started making more prototypes and putting things together and then showing it to other investors and saying, hey, what do you think of this? They're like, oh man, can you make one for me for this property? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. No problem. And I was starting to realize that being able to find the best markets and then the best areas in those markets, and then finding deals in that area and operating that whole component for real estate investors was a huge problem. Now, I kept that in the back of my mind, tinkering with it until I randomly, from a random Facebook comment, got connected with the guy who had just finished interning with Brandon Turner for 6 months in Hawaii. And he was looking to meet other young guns. And I'm like, you know what? Why don't I comment under his Facebook post of him on the beach looking happy? Why not? Let's do that. So we started having weekly Zoom calls for like 2 or 3 months until finally I said, Drew, I am going to show you a project I've been working on. I think it's pretty cool. I shared my screen, showed him my prototype, walked him through it. And he said back to me, Donato, you're not going to believe this, but I'm working on the exact same thing. And he shared his screen. And he was talking about how when he was out with Brandon Turner talking to Bigger Pockets, like they all saw this problem. And he was the one that was doing the manual work for them and thought there has to be a better way. Oh, man. And so this random guy I had never met before working on the exact same project. And we thought we have to do something with this.
Wow.
And so that is how Bright Investor was born. We raised our first little bit of seed capital. We hired our first developers and started development on the first day of January 2022. And the rest is history.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. Like what I'm hearing him say, William, is he had a moment where he had to kind of be vulnerable in a way, in a sense, right? To share your ideas with this. Well, y'all were kind of friends, but you didn't know him long enough, right? No. It's like, my gosh. And then look at what came out of that relationship.
Yeah. So how's that grown so far, Donato? Like, how's it progressed?
It's been pretty awesome. So we spent 15 months building the first version. So we didn't launch the public until March of 2023. And so we just finished our first year in business and we cleared over 6 figures in revenue for our very first year in business. Our best month was a $20,000 month in our first year. And now we've grown to a team of about 9 people. I've been able to hire one of my parents to be my executive assistant, which has been great. So now that they're basically getting to organize my time and calendar, they're getting paid to parent again. So they're like,
either they love that or they hate that.
Yeah. So we've been able to keep raising money for it, expand features. We've been able to partner with almost every single person who hosts podcasts or writes books on the Bigger Pockets platform. Dozens of podcasts, dozens of affiliates and opportunities. And we're growing this year into big feature releases with plans to expand to agents and real estate other professionals. So pretty exciting stuff. Even as we're recording this podcast, tonight we're launching our newest version with a tool that allows you to click a button and instantly find the hottest markets in the country based on any criteria you want. So it just tells you where to look. It's been pretty exciting, but that's just the business side. On the personal side, Drew, my co-founder, has become one of my closest friends. You know, I've watched him go from dating his girlfriend to engaged to being at his wedding to being there on the day that their daughter was born about 6-7 months ago to spending time with his family to continuing getting to hire people from his family to come work with us. And it is such a culture of people who have fun and are together on this journey and realizing, man, this is way harder than we ever thought it was going to be. But when I get a notification on my phone from one of our users saying, I just bought my first United States rental property because I'm confident now after using Bright Investor. Or I just pulled the trigger on my first short-term rental because I'm not scared anymore because Bright Investor made me feel confident.
That's awesome.
I have people writing in saying, I'm doing things I never thought I would do because I'm not scared anymore.
Wow.
And that's awesome.
How can I stop?
That's completely amazing, man. This is really, I don't know about you, but I'm having so much fun on this episode. And I know our listeners are enjoying every moment of this, man. But man, you know, more than likely, maybe we missed something. I know we covered a lot of good stuff. Is there anything else you want to share? Anything else we missed to help someone become a breakthrough investor just like you?
Yes, there is one major thing that I would love to leave everyone listening with. That is the power of why not. When someone asks you to do something, or when you see something like, hey, come invest in real estate, your first response is typically, well, why should I do that? And when you ask that question of why, you're operating from a place of, by default, I'm not going to do that. And I'm asking, why should I? So you can convince me to go do it. To be successful and to break through that next level, you need to switch that question. When someone says you should be investing in real estate, the question you should ask is, why not? The default is now that you're doing it. The default is you're taking action and you're looking for a reason why maybe you shouldn't. So when you simply make that switch, you go from someone who's stagnant to someone who's moving forward by simply asking, why not? And I can specifically point to four times in my life when I said, why not apply for the scholarship that could pay for all my school, even though I'm competing against 3,000 doctoral candidates? Why not, you know, show this guy my real estate idea startup and see what happens? Why not, you know, try getting into wholesaling real estate and pay for this mentorship community? And then why not email this guy to be in his podcast, which has turned into my latest partnership to buy that 200 unit building? Well, asking why not has categorically changed my life. And everyone here needs to start asking that question, why not? Because you just don't know what's going to be on the other side of that.
Man, drop the mic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Man, dude, this is fantastic. People are going to want to find you and connect with you more. How can they do that?
Yeah, I have a website. So it's my first name, last name, DonatoCallahan.com. And people can find me on Instagram, on social media, Donato_Callahan. And then you can always check out our Bright Investor webpage at brightinvestor.com. You can get in contact with me and my team through that as well. And yeah, great ways to get in contact with me and ask questions and connect.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We definitely got to bring him back, William, to his journey. But let's definitely stay connected, brother. And this has been a huge blessing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.